The very scars and wounds that we most want to hide will one day become, maybe, the most radiant and glorious things about us. And we see this in our friend Jesus. We're learning together to be part of his community in the fellowship of the withered hand. We all bring that which we would most be apt to hide and be ashamed of. And we all carry those. We all have wounds. But when we bring them into the light voluntarily together with Jesus in an appropriate and kind of healthy way, then the power of God flows and hiddenness cannot defeat us anymore. And that's what we're learning in this little community that we call the Fellowship of the Withered Hand, based on the story of Jesus and his healing with that guide. You and I are doing that together. This is the last week that we'll be in this series. I'm very excited about the Advent season and what's coming next. But today, I want to actually read some stories from some of you, because they have been the most inspiring things that I have read through this series. And I'm so grateful to be on this journey with you. And I want to set this up by saying just a word about what we're doing. In dozens and dozens of stories that have come in, one of the major themes have been sacred wounds, ways in which you have found those places in your life to reveal brokenness, sin, guilt, become not just hardships to overcome, but places to meet God and places from which we help other people. And I want to set this up by saying just a word about shame. You might know, if you're a Bible person, the book of Hebrews talks about how Jesus, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame. What does it mean to scorn shame? Well, Eleanor Stump writes about this in her book, Wandering in Darkness. She says, for a person to feel, to be and feel shamed, he needs not only to be deficient by some standards that are an objective measure for human attractiveness, at least as his community sees things, but he also needs to accept those standards as ultimate for him, as somehow binding on him and not overridden by other standards. But it's possible to say, I do not accept these standards as keeping me from being acceptable or loved. She talks about John Merrick, the elephant man, who was so often shamed in his day because of what were regarded as physical deformities, but he recognized underneath that I am a human being, and there was a beauty of spirit to him that caused him to say, even of himself, no matter what people may say or think or respond when they see my exterior person, I am a human being. Now, the cross was the ultimate attempt by powers in Jesus' day to shame him. Anybody who died on a cross was humiliated and a failure, but Jesus scorned that shame. He said, no, I do not regard the cross as ultimately shaming me. It is my place of triumph. And when Jesus was resurrected, you may know about this, in several of the Gospels, Luke and John in particular, he is given this glorious body, but it still bears his wounds. He says to Thomas afterwards, see my hands, put your fingers in there, behold my side. There's beautiful artwork about Jesus that shows he carries his wounds into glory. And so when we share our stories with each other, we scorn the shame and we step into the light. I'm so grateful to get to do that with you. And I want to read just a few of these stories and invite you to scorn the shame. Whatever would keep you from thinking that God must not love me or I could never be truthful with another person. No, we scorn that shame together with our friend Jesus in the shadow of the cross. And our wounds too, our scars, our brokenness become the ways in which we can see God at work inside me and I can be together with you. It happened for me this morning in somebody that I met with. I was born to a drug addict and alcoholic parents, did not have much support growing up. I turned to alcohol as a teenager, and as a result, I had a baby I gave up for adoption. To ease the pain, I began drinking very heavily, got married 3 months later, eventually had 2 children. It was a very violent relationship. I was divorced. Then I met a man who was a drug dealer, became very addicted to methamphetamines. For 10 years, I stayed in that relationship. I lost everything that I ever cared about. And at the end of this story, this member of the Fellowship of the Withered Hand writes, I will always need God. People will fail me. He will not. I am worthy, chosen, loved, redeemed. And you are. Another one. I was born cross-eyed and with ocular albinism. There is no way to correct it. They can correct some nearsighted and astigmatism. I've never been able to drive. School is very difficult. They didn't have the technology that schools have today. I was never a reader. I tell people I'm always on the bud system because I never go anywhere alone. Except if I go for a walk, which I do, God is with me. God has sent me amazing friends and people who are willing to take me places and help me when my lack of vision limits me. I see God everywhere I look in my life. It has not been easy, but the riches I received in the friendships and relationships are well worth the disappointments and inconveniences of not seeing this beautiful world in its fullness. I am learning it is a blessing to need other people, even when you would rather be the one on the giving end than on the receiving end. Another story, scorning the shame. We scorn the shame. I've definitely not had the story I wanted. I have suffered depression and anxiety for many years, along with chronic migraines. I am also neurodivergent, beginning to realize that I have autism. I live on my own, and then this person lives in the UK. Since losing both my parents, I have struggled to cope with the stress and the pressure. I have lost count the number of times I wanted to end my life, as I feel everybody would be better off without me. I feel failure, shame, worthless, just not good enough. And then writes about Psalm 143, verse 7. My prayer, answer me quickly, Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Every day, I pray that prayer. It was by chance, this person goes on to write, they discovered, become new. What a blessing that has been. I'm learning that God understands the pain. God is with me in the pit. God's love for me is unconditional. God keeps me safe, preventing me from ending my life. God is the only reason I have made it this far. That's the world in which you and I live. And more. About 20 years ago, a policeman knocked on my door bearing the sad news that my oldest son had passed away. Initially, they informed me it was a car accident. However, when I called the police in Massachusetts for details, they revealed that my son had died by suicide from hanging. The ramifications to myself and my family from the suicide were painful and life-changing. Each of the family members experienced the loss differently. My marriage was never the same after that. However, we did stick together as a family. Some wounds cannot be healed this side of heaven. And here's where our hope is. We serve a Savior by whose wounds you and I are healed. There's an old, old hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns, that I grew up with. And wonderful theologian Rich Mao points out one of the verses in that hymn says, Crown Him the Lord of Love. Behold His hands and side. Rich wounds. What a pregnant phrase. Rich wounds, yet visible above. In eternity, in God's kingdom, they will be seen. In beauty, glorified wounds are glorified. Wounds are beautiful. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight. But downward bends his burning eye at mysteries so bright. No angel can fully bear it, but one day you will. One day I will. And that is the God that we love. That is the God of the scriptures, the God of the sacred wound. And because he bears his wound, he is able to be with us and help bear ours. And so we meet together here in the fellowship of the withered hand. And when we bring our stories, we find healing. We mess up on our own. We find healing together. Sacred wounds, scorning the shame. You are loved. Stretch out your hand. That's us, King. That's every one of us needs God. Every one of us just desperate need for God.
Hi, I'm Tim. I'm a part of the team here at Become New. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future videos from John. And you can head over to our website, becomenew.com, where John has hundreds more teaching videos just like this one. There you can also subscribe to the email that goes out with each video or sign up to receive a text alert whenever a new video is released. We wanted to let you know John's releasing a new book this February called Steps, and it's based on the series that we did here at Become New a few years ago called Ashes to Beauty. I'm sure some of you remember it. But you can pre-order that book, Steps, at Amazon right now, or find out more information about the book at our website, becomenew.com/steps. Also, if you've got a prayer request, we would love to pray for you. You can text it to us at 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.